The vast majority of our nation's 2 million military children attend public schools. On average, these children can move up to 9 times before they graduate high school. And figuring out different rules in different school districts can be awfully confusing. At Leckie Elementary, a public school in Washington, D.C., more than 150 children come from Joint Base Anacostia Bowling, less than 2 miles away. Daniel Dunham is the school liaison officer for the Washington region, meaning he helps military families navigate the public education system.
And do you know about the Interstate Compact?
I don't think so.
Okay, so let me get you a form.
Because military families move so much, most states have signed on to this voluntary compact, which makes certain allowances for active duty families. For example, school districts can waive course requirements for graduation if a student has already taken a similar course in a different state. The compact also promises that special education services will continue when students change schools and that deadlines for extracurricular activity tryouts are waived. But often these rules haven't filtered down to the local level. So Dunham is helping to get the word out. He's a former military child himself.
When I grew up, we didn't have school liaison officers. I can recall having nightmares, even after I started teaching high school, about not graduating because, you know, I moved from place to place. I always had this fear that I wouldn't have enough credits and I would have to repeat a year.
Barbara Williams is a liaison at the Army Base Redstone Arsenal in Alabama. She recalls one student who loved his small rural school but was transferred to a new public school with nearly 600 students in his grade.
He could not make friends. His grades dropped tremendously. He was making A's and B's in his school to D's and F's in this school.
Judy Cromati is a liaison who helps children transitioning to public schools around Naval Station Mayport in Jacksonville, Florida.
I've known high school students to eat lunch in the bathroom the first 3 days they're at school, or they just don't eat.
Cromati and other school liaisons pair students with lunch buddies, tutors, and after-school activities. And sometimes, Cromati jokes, she has to solve issues that have nothing to do with education. For example, the local public school district cancelled the bus service because of budget cuts, and students on base had to start walking to school. She says it was only a few blocks.
However, to get there, they would have had to walk by one strip club, walk by another strip club before they got to this middle school. So I called the district office and suggested that maybe 14-year-old boys, that would not be a good way to start their day. It's just a thought.
It might depend on whether you're the school liaison officer or the 14-year-old boy.
Moving so often is exciting for many military children. They get to explore new cultures, learn new languages, and make friends all over the world. But it can also be very disruptive. Moving means constantly being the new kid. 15-year-old Emily Budd goes to a public school in New Kent, Virginia.
Chloe. Come, Chloe. She's my therapy bunny.
Emily feeds her pet rabbit when her little brother pops his head into the bedroom.
Go see Mama. Okay, ever since I got the rabbit, it's like my room is free territory for anyone. I'm like, no, that's not how it is.
Her father is a lieutenant colonel in the army, and so her large, loving family has spent several years abroad, in South Korea, Germany, and most recently, Armenia. They moved back to the U.S. a year and a half ago and settled in a small rural community.
When someone like me comes in who's been to 23 countries and speaks 3 other languages, I'm the oddball out.
Emily is learning not to say a lot about her travels, but having to explain herself constantly wore her down.
It just like came on as this wave of resentment, and so I started to cut.
Emily would cut or injure herself.
I got really depressed.
You were 13?
Mm-hmm.
And how long did that period go on for?
It's still going on, actually. I ended up in the hospital January 21st because I was going to try to kill myself.
Emily texted 3 of her friends and told them she was going to overdose on sleeping pills. To make a long, traumatic story short, she was hospitalized for a week. She's now on the road to recovery. She's in counseling, has made a few friends, and pours her heart into writing poetry.
What would have made it better for you?
An unlimited supply of money so I could buy plane tickets back whenever I wanted to. I don't know. I mean, back in Europe and in Armenia, like, I had a distinct place. Like, does that make sense? I just knew where I belonged. But then I got to the US, none of these people cared about where I'd been. I didn't know how to react. I think that was the biggest part of it, was that nobody understood me.
Many military children are resilient, but there are also a lot like Emily in public schools across the US who experience difficulties. Research suggests just having a parent deployed could increase a child's chance of depression, bullying, and suicidal thoughts by between 27 and 50% above a non-military child. And public schools, which educate the overwhelming majority of military children, have a big role to play in their well-being.
We have Oceania Naval Air Base, Portsmouth Naval Center, Norfolk Navy Shipyard, Fort Story, Little Creek.
The Virginia Beach City public school system educates 20,000 military children. Jill Gatens is the director of military support services.
We're literally surrounded by the military community.
Every branch of the military has a presence here. But even with all these children, she says teachers sometimes don't understand that even a simple question like, "Where are you from?" can be confusing to a military child. She gives the example of her own military family.
I'm from Michigan. My husband's from Wisconsin. I have one son from Arizona, one son from California, one son from Okinawa.
Virginia Beach has hired additional counselors, created military mentoring programs, and provided more teacher training. Because what happens outside the school affects the children inside. A few months ago, there was a helicopter crash into the water just off Virginia Beach.
There were four service members that passed away that day. For a little while, we didn't know the names of those service members, but all of our students knew that a helicopter crashed. Many of our students have fathers that fly on those helicopters and fly in those jets.
17-year-old Christopher Penn at Ocean Lakes High School in Virginia Beach is making a mousetrap car, and there's a lot of sawing and nails and talk of wheel alignment involved. Christopher wants to do well in the military aptitude test, because he wants to specialize in artillery, so his math skills have to be good.
I want to serve my country. I've had this idea since the seventh grade.
Like many military children, he has family members who've served. His father was in the army, and Christopher says he can't wait to wear the Marine Corps uniform.
I feel proud, you know. That uniform looks great. I know my girlfriend would love it.
Christopher is pretty open about his military connections, but Gayton says that's not often the case. Students don't volunteer that information, either because they want to fit in or because they're told not to.
We have a lot of special forces in our community. The children would know not to discuss it. And there's situations where you don't want to tell your child what you do.
The Virginia Beach school system has added a simple box on registration forms that now allows them to track military children in school databases. Mary Keller, president of the Military Child Education Coalition, is pushing for a similar system nationwide.
Everybody can say, well, we're military friendly. Oh, great, what does that mean? We are in this black hole of data, of understanding, you know, about the children whose parents are serving.
Keller says having families check an extra box when they're enrolling doesn't cost money, and it helps schools understand where to direct resources. A school that can identify its military children can support them emotionally as well. Ron Aviaster, a professor at the University of Southern California, has studied the effects of war on children, particularly in the Middle East. He says there's a chasm between the civilian population and the military in the US that makes many children feel like no one understands them. He contrasts this with Israel, where a large percentage of the population has served.
In Israel, it's not uncommon for a teacher who might have been an officer or a bus driver may have served in a combat unit. So the number of adults that are working in schools in the community who understand what war means or what kids may go through is huge.
There are efforts to support military children in public schools happening across the country. A Washington State school pairs students with military mentors for the year. A Virginia school invites service members to talk about their experiences. And in California, there are almost 100 school gardens where civilian and military families work together to get to know each other. But experts say these efforts need to be more intentional and coordinated and scaled up if we want to reach the hundreds of thousands of military children across the U.S. With less than 1% of the population serving in the military, there's a cultural divide that needs to be bridged. And that isn't just the responsibility of schools. Up next, children whose parents have paid the ultimate price.
When my mom took me to the army, I saw he was dead, so I cried on him.
That's just ahead on Breaking Ground, a production of WAMU in Washington, D.C., and PRI, Public Radio International. I'm Kavita Cardoza.